Welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. And, you know, we've concluded that look at hearing from America's Muslims. And I definitely want us to take into consideration the many similarities that Muslims have with people who are not Muslims. That was one of the points that we've been focusing on this discussion throughout. Differences, yes. Similarities, yes. When you think about it, are all members of the black race completely alike? Are all members of the white race completely alike? Are all members of the Hispanic community and completely alike? Any group you can think of, Native Americans, any group you can think of, is every individual within that group just like every other member of that group? And of course, we know the answer is no. And so you can best believe that not all American Muslims are alike. And if within the specific groups, subgroups, the black community, white community, Hispanic community, etc., we're not completely alike, it makes sense that not all Muslims and non-Muslims will be exactly alike. Not all Christians and non-Christians are exactly alike. Not all Buddhists and non-Buddhists are exactly alike, and on down the line. So we shouldn't be so quick to be ready to pounce because there are some differences noted in those people. Those people look at us and see differences too. I mean, you think about it. Within the same household, not everyone is exactly alike. And you start talking about all the cousins, aunts and uncles and the grandparents, not all just alike. Are we going to pounce for that reason? Hopefully not. Although I know in reality some do, many do. Cross ethnicities again. Drama in the family. The extended family and the nuclear family. Unfortunately, that's the way it works because of our fallen nature. So, in the meantime, let's practice consciously, deliberately, practice and intentionally practice developing a willingness, a true willingness to embrace regardless of the differences. That doesn't mean become just like. We can embrace and still be different. Again, in our own households, mother, father, husband, wife, sisters, brothers, siblings, parents are not exactly alike in all our relationships, because despite those relationships, we are still individual personalities. Even with our differences, though, we can and should embrace each other. So think about some of the facts we learned by hearing from America's Muslims. See if we can develop some greater sense of compassion, a readiness to embrace our fellow humans. All right. Now, that said, part of that means there's work for the church. There's much work for the church to do, and as George Barna shared with us last week, part of the issue for the church is that there's so much focus on developing, constructing more buildings for the church operations and getting more people into the facilities. Neither of those is bad in and of themselves. What is bad, though, is when our focus is on more people so that we get more money, so that we can have more buildings. And we are neglecting the most important part, and that is, number one, reaching out to the people who are already there to help them become more mature as Christians. And number two, reaching out to people who are looking for, who may be interested in finding a church home for the purpose of bringing them in to help them, first of all, connect with Jesus Christ if they haven't already done so. And number two, if they have done so, if they're going to do it, once it's done, again, to help them grow spiritually, mentally, to help them become more like Jesus. We should be deliberately striving to become more like him, more like our Heavenly Father, more like the Spirit of God who lives in us once we have submitted to him and said, yes, I'm ready to be yours. So let me go back to just a little bit of what we heard from George Bonner last week, and then we're going to move to some more information that he's sharing on that same topic about church models being outdated.
We really lose our way.
And you talk a lot about leadership, and you survey a lot of pastors about leadership. It's really interesting, one of your recent surveys found that most pastors don't feel like they're effective leaders. What is that all about?
Well, yeah, that's a long discussion, but in essence, the keys to that discussion would be, first of all, we know that most pastors are not leaders. They're good people, but they haven't been called by God to lead. Now, they've been called to ministry, but most of them, even by their own admission, aren't gifted in the area of leadership. They're gifted in the area of preaching or teaching, and that's what they've been called to do. That's what they're great at. That's what they love to do. That's where they get the greatest resonance with the people that they're ministering to. But the problem is the model that we have for the church, which we created about 500 or 600 years ago. It's not scriptural. We kind of made it up. You look at that model, and it dictates that if you want to use that gift of teaching or preaching, the only way you get to do it is by being the leader. And so we've confused the fact that leadership and teaching are two very different gifts, two different ways of thinking, two different heart sets, two different ways of relating to people, different kinds of objectives. But the only way that you get that platform, you get that microphone, that opportunity to teach, you have to become the leader.
More.
And so they struggle with the whole leadership component.
And I love the fact that you really encourage lay leadership, because...
More than that in just a few. Church model, outdated.